When the call came that my father had fainted, I stood frozen on the cobblestones of Florence, knowing instinctively that Tim Russert doesn't simply faint. Just hours earlier, he had called me excitedly from my apartment where he was setting up my cable and Xbox. Now my mother and I walked medieval streets in shock, making a solemn pact to grieve with dignity. At the Kennedy Center Memorial, surrounded by Washington's power brokers and journalism elite, a supernatural calm washed over me as I delivered my father's eulogy. As Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road faded and we exited, a magnificent rainbow appeared over the Potomac, nature's own sign that Dad was at peace. Several TV executives, impressed by my composure in such a public moment of grief, began approaching me about future opportunities in broadcasting. At 22, I was thrust into a spotlight I never sought, expected to carry forward a towering legacy while barely beginning to process my own devastating loss. Working at Capitol Hill felt like being part of history. I outworked everyone, chasing congressmen into elevators and filing briefing notes at all hours. By 26, I was handed an hour of national cable news airtime and even appeared as a panelist on Meet the Press. The brass ring felt within reach until a surprising conversation with Speaker John Boehner, who summoned me to his ceremonial office. "What are you doing here?" he asked cryptically. When I mentioned turning 30 soon, he advised, "Junior, it's time for you to go do something. Build something. You don't want to be a lifer here." His words haunted me, awakening questions I'd been suppressing. Was I living up to my father's legacy, or trying to prove something to him beyond the grave? Despite knowing the president and dining with senators, I felt shattered inside. My anxiety intensified, panic attacks in the Capitol, trembling in audio booths like the one where Dad died. In October 2016, I made the craziest decision of my life, leaving NBC, journalism, my career, and DC behind to find myself through travel. With a new carry-on, fresh beard, and nervous excitement, I boarded my first solo international flight to Argentina. My mother enthusiastically supported my journey to Patagonia, a place that had enchanted her during her reporting days. At Pirito Moreno Glacier, I stood transfixed by its 97-square-mile expanse of blue-outlined white ice, listening to the thunderous sound of breaking ice. Mom joined me in Buenos Aires for Thanksgiving, where the city revealed itself as a fading but beautiful Paris of Latin America. At a gathering of internationals, Mom captivated everyone with stories from her journalism career. In Cambodia, I visited Angkor Wat, which I'd first seen in a photograph of my mother doing a headstand there in 1975. This massive temple complex spans over 400 acres, with stone structures dramatically intertwined with strangler fig roots and five iconic towers piercing the horizon. Disturbed by tourists pushing for Instagram photos, I found a hidden Buddhist altar where I meditated, experiencing unexpected clarity. In Vietnam, I visited Hoa Lo Prison, the Hanoi Hilton, where John McCain spent 5 years, refusing early release despite torture. Drifting through Ha Long Bay, I connected with travelers from a dozen nations as moonlight spread like a white silk bedsheet over the water. In Senegal, I visited Gori Island, where my guide Omar showed me the Door of No Return, the last piece of African land millions saw before being shipped into slavery. Staring at the ocean, I'd always associated with freedom, but now symbolized humanity's cruelest chapter, I could only answer Omar's question about my feelings with ashamed. Later in Zimbabwe, I awoke to warnings of tanks rolling through Harare during Mugabe's ousting. My driver, Owen, moved me to the back seat at a checkpoint, telling armed officers he was driving an important diplomat to get us through. These experiences gave me perspective on my struggles and privileges no classroom could provide. In Jerusalem, religious solemnity permeated every ancient stone. At dawn, I visited the Mount of Temptation outside Jericho, where Jesus fasted for 40 days, making biblical stories tangible. Something told me to notice things today, bringing an inner calm. At dusk, I walked Jesus' path to crucifixion at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. At the altar of the crucifixion, I was physically pushed to my knees by the weight of the moment. At Christ's tomb, I knelt and prayed, thanking God for blessings, praying for those suffering, asking for safety, and seeking guidance about my purpose since losing my father. I felt the stone trembling beneath my forehead and entered a meditative state, spinning into another dimension as an inner voice told me, "He heard you. Go forward. Pray, and you'll notice." After attending the Emmy Awards with my mother, I impulsively drove to Marfa, Texas, instead of flying home. On the road, Mary ended our relationship, citing my restlessness. I sped through the desert, took photos, and drank with locals. After a late-night fast food binge, I woke up hungover in Abilene, finally confronting how I'd strayed from my journey's purpose. Back in D.C., my cardiologist delivered sobering news. My health had regressed significantly. I'd been using travel as an escape rather than a path to self-understanding. I began running without music, letting my inner monologue flow, hearing Dad's encouraging, "You got this," as I pushed through pain. I realized I needed to support myself. I improved my habits, found a therapist, and learned to embrace my anxieties rather than compartmentalizing them. In Jerusalem, walking from Christ's tomb to the Western Wall, I spotted a Buffalo Bills yarmulke, a clear sign from Dad. This journey forced me to confront, who am I beyond my father's son? I'd been trying to bear the cross of a legend after loss. I now understood I must forge my own path, finding comfort in uncertainty rather than clinging to duty. I'd been holding on to 22-year-old Luke, the age I was when Dad died, fearing that letting go meant losing him too. But in Jerusalem, I glimpsed the man I'd become, one who meditates, embraces global influences, invests in diverse causes, and might someday have a family. At the Western Wall, wearing the Bills yarmulke, I placed his favorite verse in the ancient stones. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." We all carry invisible weights, expectations, legacies, grief that shape our paths. True healing comes not from escaping these burdens, but learning to carry them differently, with purpose. Sometimes you must journey far from home to discover that peace lies within yourself. Through this journey, I finally understood that honoring my father meant not replicating his path, but finding the courage to forge my own, carrying forward his values while embracing my unique purpose.